الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. Continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, and now we are we have reached verse 21. We are on verse 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O mankind, worship your Lord Allah, who created you and those who were before you, so that you may become المتقين. تتقون. يا أيها الناس, O mankind. This is general, as you can tell. This calling is for mankind. Yet we know that this verse, or this surah, this chapter, is a Madianite chapter, meaning it was revealed after migration. Muttaqin meaning the pious. So you may become from the pious. Okay. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become from the pious. Okay, so if someone says, well, this is a Madianite chapter, meaning it was revealed after the immigration of the Prophet ﷺ, and the mostly the address in the chapters of Medina, the Madianite chapters, mostly is addressing the believers. And someone may say, therefore, that this particular verse may be a Meccan verse that was put in a Madianite chapter. The answer to this is, originally this cannot be the case, meaning not to take the verses revealed in Mecca in the Madianite chapters, or vice versa. And no one should change this original matter except with an explicit and correct evidence. And that's why sometimes we see titles about chapters in the Quran, people put them that this chapter is a Madianite chapter except for verses such and such and such and such, or the opposite. Yani, this is not to be taken for granted until and if this is verified by a clear, explicit and authentic evidence. Madianite, from Medina, meaning revealed after the immigration of the Prophet ﷺ. So originally, therefore, the Madianite chapters are Madianite, meaning their verses, and the Meccan chapters are Meccan, meaning their verses, except when there is a clear, explicit and authentic evidence to indicate otherwise. So this is the point of benefit. Now, Allah says here, addressing mankind, worship your Lord, meaning humiliate yourself to Allah in obedience by complying with His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions out of love and magnification. Out of love and magnification. And the Lord, عبدوا ربكم, ربكم, الرب, the Lord is the creator, to whom belongs the kingdom, the one who runs the affairs. All of this is the meaning of Ar-Rabb, who created you and those who were before you, meaning He brought you from non-existence as well as He brought those before you, meaning all the previous nations as well, whom Allah created. لعلكم who created you so that meaning in order that you attain piety, and piety is a high degree to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described paradise by saying in chapter 3 verse 133 about paradise, describing it, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, prepared for the pious, the righteous who fear Allah and comply with His commands and stay away from His prohibitions. These are the pious. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. Also Allah said in chapter 16 verse 128, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Truly Allah is with those who fear Him, keep their duty unto Him, and those who are muhsinun, good doers. And Allah also in the same surah, in the same chapter of 2, said in verse 194, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, and know for sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the pious. The benefits of this verse, the clear attention directed at worship, giving it the care it deserves, and this is taken from two directions. The first angle, starting the command with the verb worship, all mankind worship. The second angle, generalizing the call to all mankind, indicating that worship is the most important thing. Rather, mankind are created only to worship Allah, as Allah stated in 51:56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Verily I have created jinn and mankind for the sole purpose of worshipping none but me. And from the benefits, and this is very important, this verse, Allah is saying in this verse, reminding us that He is the Creator. So Allah is speaking about His Lordship. And therefore, He is speaking about His Lordship and requested mankind to worship Him alone, reminding them that He is the Lord. So the benefit that we can draw here is this, that attesting to Allah being the Creator, meaning being the Lord, necessitates attesting of His divinity, that He is the only true God worthy of worship. Because He said, "Ubudu Rabbakum," worship your Lord. Look at this, worship your Lord. So when He is the Lord, He is the Creator, the one who runs the affairs, the possessor of the kingdom, etc. When He is the Lord, then attesting to His Lordship necessitates His divinity, that He must be worshipped alone. The third point of benefit, that it is a must to worship Allah, because this is a command. اعبدوا ربكم. And this is the purpose behind the creation. And worship covers two meanings. Worship covers two meanings. First, it covers what is called at-ta'abbud, which is the act of worship, our actions in worship. The second is al-muta'abbadu bih, the means of worship. The second is the means of worship. And the means of worship covers every saying, every apparent action or hidden action which draws one near to Allah. So, from the points of benefits, number four, that worship being obligatory on us is something necessitated intellectually in addition to legally. The worship being obligatory on us intellectually in addition to legally is proven intellectually, or is entailed intellectually in addition to being legally demanded. Why? Because Allah is saying "Abudu Rabbakum," worship your Lord. And the Lord deserves to be worshipped alone, because He is the Lord, and none therefore to be worshipped with Him. And it's amazing that the mushriks, who did not comply to worship Allah alone, it's amazing that when they were touched by any calamity or hardship and lost all means of deliverance, they resorted to Allah alone at times of difficulty and hardship. As Allah described them in 31, 32 in Surah Luqman, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And when a wave covers them like shades, they invoke Allah, making their invocations for Him alone. But look, but when He brings them safe to land, they are among them those that stop in the middle between belief and disbelief. But none denies our signs except every perfidious ungrateful. From the points of benefit is point number five, affirming in this verse that Allah is the creator and the only creator, the creator of those before and the latter. Because He said, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, the one who created you and those before you. And from the points of benefit, point number six, is that it is from the way of the Quran that most often when it mentions the ruling, it mentions the cause. In this case, Allah says, "Abudu Rabbakum," worship your Lord. And the cause here is, since He is our Lord, our Creator, and those before us, then we must worship Him. This is often the case, point number six. And point seven, that piety is a high degree attained only by those who sincerely worship Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Magnificent. Because Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order so that you be from the pious. Point number eight . It's possible to deduce from this verse the warning against innovation. Why? Because the worship of Allah cannot be attained except by following the way which He, Allah, legislated for His slaves in order to reach Him. Because we cannot therefore know how to worship Allah except by way of revelation and legislation. How do we perform wudu? How to perform salah? What made us know and realize that if man stands for the prayers, then he should say this and that and bow and prostrate and except after revelation? The ninth point of benefit is the motivation to seek knowledge, urging to seek knowledge. Because worship cannot be possibly attained except with knowledge. And that's why Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, may Allah's mercy be upon him, tabulated concerning this issue by saying, chapter, quote, knowledge before saying and before action, end of quote. And this tells of his fiqh, of his understanding, rahimahullah. From the points of benefit as well, and now we are gaining more from this just published material which I spoke to you about, which is Min Ahkam al-Quran al-Kareem, from the rulings deducted from the Noble Quran. And by the way, this new publication, the ruling from the Noble Quran, or the rulings, was or used to be used to come on the radio daily from the Noble Quran station in Riyadh, and alhamdulillah they have collected all of this material, and they're just beginning to publish it. And last night I got the first two volumes, alhamdulillah. People used to listen to these classes on the air. They were so much beneficial. And now after the death of the Shaykh rahimahullah, they are taken by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, may Allah preserve him. So we take now from the points of benefits. Again, the Shaykh rahimahullah asserted that the worship is the right of Allah, and it is incumbent upon all mankind. This is deducted from the generality of the call, Ya Ayyuhan Nasu, O mankind. So all mankind, it's a must upon them to worship Allah. And the worship of Allah is to humiliate, as we said earlier, to humiliate oneself by complying with his commands, abstaining from his prohibitions in accordance with his legislation which he sent his messengers with. And these legislations are different. They differ from a messenger to another, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from mankind are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns for them a particular legislation, and another from mankind another particular legislation in accordance with his wisdom, such that each and every legislation in its own time and with respect to its own people will be beneficial to them. However, all the legislations are combined in the legislation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus the legislation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogates all the previous ones. فَلَا عِبَادَ, and thus there is no worship of Allah except through the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worship is based upon two foundations. First, sincerity. Second, compliance with the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And concerning the first one, which is al-ikhlas, sincerity, it means that the person intends with his worship the face of Allah alone and the last day. He doesn't want anything from the crumble and ashes stuff of this world, neither prestige nor leadership, and not pretending and showing off for any creature. Rather seek sincerely the face of Allah and the last day. And look at this important statement which the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned. He said, وَمَتَى كَانَتْ هَذِهِ نِيَّتُ. And when this is truly the intention of someone, فَإِنَّهُ سَوْفَ يُحْسِنُ الْعَمَلِ, then verily he will conduct his work righteously. He will worship Allah as if he sees Allah. For verily if he sees him not, then Allah sees him. And what opposes this sincerity is shirk. Shirk in worship. Meaning intending with his worship other than the face of Allah and the last day. Seeking the material of this world which will come to crumble and become nothing. Or showing off to a creature. Or intending to reach a highest or a high level in the society and prestige and so forth. So this intention is false and it nullifies the action. The second condition is following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the worship. And this cannot be attained except when the worship agrees with the Sharia in six matters. Please make note of these six matters. Worship in accordance with the second condition, which is following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cannot be in agreement with the Sharia except if it attains six matters. They are: it must be in compliance with the Sharia in the cause, in the kind, in the extent, in the description, in the timing, in the place. Six matters should be in compliance with the Sharia, each and every one of them. So if your act of worship or the act of worship of someone opposes the Sharia in one of these matters, then in this case the person is not following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if anyone now invents a worship because of an illegal cause, then his worship is not acceptable, rather rejected, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Anyone who invents or acts on something which is not in accordance with our matter, with our affair, our way, then it is rejected. This hadith is the evidence for all of these six matters which you see in the text. And anyone who worships Allah by following a kind of worship which is not prescribed, then his worship is rejected. So for example, if someone now sacrifices a horse instead of a sheep or a cow, then his sacrifice is not acceptable, because he sacrificed a kind which is not acceptable. And we know that the sacrificial animal is that from cattle, camels, cows, and sheep. Also, it must be in compliance with the Sharia in the extent of the worship. So anyone who worships Allah in something extra to that prescribed, then this extra is not acceptable, and it could nullify the worship itself, and it may not nullify it. For example, if someone prays the Dhuhr 5 instead of 4 rak'ah, having an extra one, it will not be acceptable from him, because it is not in accordance with the extent described by the Sharia. And this additional action, this extra thing, nullifies the worship in this example. However, if someone gives the charity at the end of the month of Ramadan more than the prescribed amount of two sa'as around if someone exceeds the sa', exceeds the limit of fitrah, which is the charity at the end of month of Ramadan, and the sa' is around 2.5 and 3 kilos, and instead he gives 2 sa's, meaning around 6 kilos, he will be rewarded for the first sa', for 1 sa', but the second extra one he will be rewarded for it as being general charity. And there is a difference between the fitrah, which is the charity linked to the fasting of month of Ramadan, which you know, and the general charity. Is this clear? This example is clear. Why? Because the general charity is something optional, and the fitrah is obligatory. You see the difference? Is this example clear? Okay. Yes, exactly. Okay, alhamdulillah. Tayyib. The others, is it clear for you? Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay. The act of worship must also be in compliance with the prescribed matters in their description. In the description. So if it opposes the prescribed matter in description, it will not be accepted. For example, if someone starts the prayer by prostration instead of bowing, he begins the salah with sujood instead of ruku', then his salah is not acceptable. Because this is opposing the description prescribed by the Sharia. Similarly, in accordance with the correct opinion, if someone makes wudu and starts with his feet, then his head, then his hands, then his face, his wudu, according to the correct opinion, is not acceptable, because this is in opposition to the description related by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, the act of worship must be in compliance with the prescribed one in timing. So if someone worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a worship in other than its time, it will not be acceptable. Let's give an example. If someone performs Hajj, performs the Hajj, the pilgrimage, in a time other than the prescribed time of Hajj, then his Hajj is not acceptable, even though he may visit all the and conduct all the rituals, because this is not in the prescribed timing. Furthermore, it must be in compliance in regard to the place. For example, if someone goes into the ritual seclusion in his house, then this will not be i'tikaf, ritual seclusion, because he didn't follow the way of Allah in that respect. And in summary, therefore, in conclusion, worship cannot be acceptable except in that which it complies with the Sharia. And this can only be when it fulfills this matter in these six cases: cause, kind, extent, description, timing, and place. And inshallah we'll stop here so we can continue tomorrow inshallah ta'ala. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.